College football fans, are you ready for week one? DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up with a can't-miss offer to start the season strong. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Anything can happen in college football. That's right. Your team could go from unranked to dynasty mode in just a couple of years. Change comes fast. The only thing that's a lock is great offers from the DraftKings Sportsbook. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code TASKMASTER, all lowercase. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on college football. Only DraftKings Sportsbook is the way to go, and use that promo code TASKMASTER, then the crown is yours. That's right. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use that promo code TASKMASTER. Own it, live it, win the crown.
We loved the 1980s wrestling era when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and the family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lainey Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
I am your host, JP John Paz, from the two-man power trip of wrestling. Of course, joining me is the former WCW and ECW World Tag Team Champion, one of the greatest minds and bookers ever in the history of the business, the Games Master, the Taskmaster, the Devil himself, Mr. Kevin Sullivan. Kevin, how are you doing today, sir?
Great, JP. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Can't complain. Can't complain in this crazy world that just keeps getting crazier.
Yeah. It certainly does, doesn't it?
Now, recently, and it's funny because obviously this, we're going back 25 years here, but recently it keeps coming out about this interesting WCW incident between Bill Goldberg, and Stephen Regal, Lord Stephen Regal. It just keeps coming back up. Regal has his side of it. Goldberg has his side of it. You always said you're just the facts, no bullshit. You know, you're not going to play the political game. So February 9th, 1998, Goldberg versus Regal on Nitro from El Paso, Texas. What the heck happened in this match? Because Regal has a completely different story out there.
Well, I'm going to tell you what I think. I told an agent something, and I'm not going to tell you who the agent was. I'm not going to put Regal in a position to get squashed. Bill now has gone through everybody like shit through a goose, right?
Yep.
It's a learning time. It's time to learn a little. Let's change the match somewhat. On this one, I think that there was some real bad miscommunication back in the dressing room. I take the blame on myself for not being there. It's hard when you have a person like Regal and he's in with Bill and you're going to ask him to teach him, because Regal was so great without explaining it to Bill. Bill didn't understand. He was how long had he been in the business? 6 months?
Basically, yeah, if you look at it, yeah.
He was a neophyte. He had no idea. We had given him the matches before. Now it's time to learn, because you're not going to be able to do that with Hogan, right? Nash. You're going to have to start to learn to do some stuff. It was a miscommunication. I think they both should sit down and talk sometime, because they're both right. Bill thought he should have done what he was doing, and it wasn't the time. It was time for him to take another step in the learning process. And Regal did nothing out of the way, because there was one, I had seen the match just recently. There was one thing that Bill looked very clumsy on, right? And it was, it was like in a side headlock or something by Regal. And Regal would have talked him into it and put him in the position, but Bill kind of fell out, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He was in there to learn. So that's my take.
How come nobody will reveal who the agent is? Regal won't reveal it. I don't think Goldberg did. How come nobody will reveal who the agent of the match was?
Because I think we all understand if the guy doesn't come through, means one or two things. He's no longer with us, or he doesn't want to take the heat. And there's no heat, it was just a misunderstanding. But Bill made such a big thing of it. Shit, we've all had, even Ric Flair's had shitty matches.
Where he made a big thing, but he even put in his book about it. He was still pissed about it and said that Regal didn't take care of him, took some liberties with him. Do you think that Regal took some liberties?
No, that's the European work, that uppercut. That's, hey, it's time to, when I wrote it down, I probably wrote it down a month too soon. I should have put Bobby Eaton in there with him or somebody to teach him a little bit more before he got to Regal, because Regal was a physical worker. He wasn't taking liberties. Believe me, Bill's a tough guy. Regal's a tough guy. It would have ended up being ugly. So, no.
So it was, because Regal says he was told to have a competitive match. So even you're saying it was supposed to be somewhat of a competitive match.
It was supposed to be like, I've heard people say 60-40. I would say maybe 65-35. But Regal had to get his 35 or 40 in. If someone tells me 35, I'm getting 45 in.
But do you think that that was smart of you guys at that point with Goldberg to do that? Or did you think, like, it's not going to make him look great on TV?
Well, we picked... Well, how many times as big a pop as he got, could he keep doing that before he could work with Hogan, Nash, Hall? Name a bunch of other guys, you know what I mean? He couldn't keep on just smashing guys. He had to learn to at least register. You know, that's what I had him doing, not selling, but he had to start registering a little more. But, you know, it made a lasting impression.
It actually doesn't end up hurting Goldberg, but why do you think that he thinks it does end up hurting him? You know what I mean? Like, people didn't kind of read too much into it, I don't think, the fans wise.
No, I think that a lot of guys read them. That's what I think.
What did they say to him?
Oh, you know, guys know how to, when Bill was a, like I said, 6 months, guys can say snide shit. And there's also other guys that like to stir the pot. So, you know, I think Bill was very sensitive at the time. You know, he was getting a major push, and he knew he didn't know that much.
Do you think that exposed him there by Regal doing that?
No, absolutely not.
Why not?
Because Tyson didn't knock everybody out. Right?
True.
Okay. And sometimes Tyson had to go a few rounds before he knocked the guy out. And sometimes the guy would hit Tyson and get him off his ass. Not on his ass, but off his heels, you know. So it's time to show a little bit of vulnerability.
Do you think that if you really look at it, that's what the fans wanted too from Goldberg, to see a little bit of that? Did they want to see a little bit of a chink in the armor?
I don't think they want to see a chink in the armor, but they want to see the armor at least be dented. You know, and Regal, hey, Regal had a great run. Regal was looked upon as a very good performer and a top guy. It wasn't like he was going through, you know, somebody that didn't mean anything.
I got to mention this because, I mean, it's out there. He was not necessarily clean and sober during these years in WWE, meaning Regal. Was he clean and sober during this match?
Yeah.
What do you think that of the people that were saying that he may not have been? Like, is that just stirring the pot? Is there some truth behind that he wasn't really with it during this era in WCW? Because I think even self-admittedly, he would say that he wasn't in the best shape of his life at this point.
Yeah, I think I've heard that too. But on that night, I think he was fine.
Was there issues with him as far as not being clean at that point? Like as far as him being out of control in WCW?
No. Not that, no.
What did you think about being able to trust Regal with Goldberg?
Oh, I can trust Regal with my life.
But when you look at it, Goldberg necessarily doesn't. Is that your fault, the agent's fault, Regal's fault? Like, how come he is not smarter to the business even after the match? You know what I mean? How come he's not, like, smartened up a little bit to it?
Because he had been Superman and somebody had exposed a little kryptonite tonight on him and he didn't know how to take it. It didn't hurt his career at all, did it?
I don't think so, no. He, for some reason, thinks it did a little, but I don't think it did at all.
How?
I don't know. He just seems bitter about it. That a guy tried to take liberties with him.
I don't know how he thinks he tried to take liberties. I don't. Liberties to me is when someone smacks you around and they call it a working punch.
There's a couple times in the match where he slaps him, but Regal always did that. You know, that open palm strike, whatever.
Yeah.
He kind of made, you know, point about that, but that was part of his offense.
And the European uppercut.
Yep.
I mean, it's a different style. That's what made WCW so fascinating. I mean, I just watched the fight. Who was the super middleweight that was 41-0 from Wales? Do you remember? He had an Italian name, even though he was from Wales. He's one of the greatest super heavyweights, not super heavyweights, super middleweights of all times. Well, he was knocking people out like Goldberg. He retired 41-0, but he got knocked down a couple of times in different fights. Hey, it makes it a little bit more exciting sometimes. It breaks the pattern. Remember I used to talk about patterns?
Yep.
Yeah.
Also, there was a few kicks there, but Regal likes to say they look worse than what they really are. To the fan, you know, like me watching it, I'm like, oh, those look like stiff kicks. But they're probably not, right? I mean, in essence, he's probably pulling them.
He didn't kick them any harder than anybody else did. Regal was a tremendous performer. All those English and Irish guys are. They're fabulous. They know how to work.
The agent never comes forward, right? So we don't know who that is in the match. But Bischoff was furious backstage. Why is he furious? And how come, you know, Regal's getting the brunt of it and not the agent, or not even maybe you, as far as Bischoff being pissed?
You'd have to ask Eric. I mean... Maybe Eric didn't understand at that moment about he had to make another step, Goldberg. He had to show a little vulnerability.
Why was he so pissed? Did he not know, like, what was scheduled? Like, did Bischoff not know it was supposed to be a competitive match?
Nobody went over that with Eric, I don't think.
Shouldn't you know, or no?
At that period, maybe I should have. Looking back, hindsight, maybe I should have. But Bill, I created Bill, and I thought it was time for the bolts to be tightened in the neck and the Frankenstein monster. Hey. You see Frankenstein? He's afraid of fire, ain't he?
Hmm.
You got to have a vulnerability. Either that or he was going to eventually turn heel. And I'll tell you something that somebody told me and I didn't believe it. You might have been the one that told me. When Nash beat him, even though I hated that finish, there were people in the front row jumping up from joy.
Huge pop, yeah.
So, maybe it was like when, you know how I always relate things to boxing, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was when Buster Douglas, who was what, 70-1 odds?
Oh, maybe even worse. Yeah, it was bad, yeah.
And he beat the shit out of Tyson.
Yep.
People popped.
Big time.
Yeah.
It's funny, going to WrestleMania 9 when Hogan beats Yokozuna after Yokozuna beats Bret. Bret and everybody were complaining that Hogan won. That shouldn't happen. That was bullshit. The crowd goes nuts. So, yeah. I mean, the crowd loved it. So sometimes you got to go by the crowd sometimes.
You got to go with what the people want. Like,
somebody mentioned to me, do you think LA Knight can beat Roman Reigns?
He better not.
Let me ask you this. Real simple. There's wrestling, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the wrestling business. Hasn't there been a huge merger?
Yes.
When the merger came and the WWE was doing so good, coming off the WrestleMania, who was champion?
Roman Reigns.
Now you're going to Saudi Arabia. There's a little bit of turmoil in the company right now again, isn't there, with Vince?
So they say, with Ari and Vince, and do they really want Triple H to be head of creative? They really do, not Vince, but yeah.
Okay. Would you pull the trigger now?
Not a chance.
Next week, and then 2 weeks, the ratings be down? Nope. And I love LA Knight. But you think you don't think heads would roll if they went down the next week?
Yep, big time. And too risky, too risky.
And the other thing why it's risky is the political climate right now. That match is coming from the Middle East.
Right.
You don't know how many Jewish Americans are going to turn that TV off.
Hey, I think Reigns, I'm loving this Bruno Sammartino rumor that they're going to try to have him go towards that record, which is 5 years away, by the way. So I think it's far off, but yeah. I love that that's a rumor out there, and I love that people are getting mad about it.
Yeah, I don't think he'll do that. I think he's going to – what does he have to – he has to get to win WrestleMania 40 to beat Hogan's streak.
Yes, yes.
That's what they're going to do.
And it's funny because they say Backlund has a longer streak than Hogan, but not technically. So I'm a huge fan, and I would love talking about the titles. So technically, Backlund's title run is two different runs because he lost to Inoki in Japan and then got a gift it back to him.
Right.
So technically, Backlund's title run is 4 days shorter than Hogan. So Reigns could technically pass Backlund on his way to WrestleMania 40, win WrestleMania 40, and then pass Hogan, and then he'd only have Bruno's two title runs ahead of him, which would be nuts.
No, he wouldn't do go. He ain't going that far, brother. He'll be in Hollywood. With Rock directed at him.
But I love that that's a rumor out there because Bruno's title run was 8 years. So technically, he would need 4.5 more years after this WrestleMania.
This is how crazy we all get about wrestling. Because that came to me the other night. I said, wasn't Bruno 7 years? Now you tell me it's 8.5.
God. Yeah, I think it was 8.5. I think because it was 2,135 days, if I'm remembering correctly. Let me do the math. 2,135. Oh no, maybe it is 7. Oh, whoops. Let me do the math here. Yeah, it is. It is closer to 7, but it's still. He's still got 4 years to go. I mean, I don't know if that's going to happen. I mean, that's a long ass time.
That ain't happening, brother. He'll be in Hollywood and The Rock will be directing him.
If you look at it, like, even think about somebody in this day and age in 2023 getting close to that is nuts.
Yeah, it really is. You know, it's funny.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's 2,803 days for Bruno. So it is over 7.5 years as champion. Okay. 2,803.
Okay. Here's what's funny. You know when people talk about Mount Rushmore? It's their era. Do you know who Jim Lundis is?
Yeah, one of the greatest draws of all time, technically speaking.
It the greatest draw of all time. Are you aware of that?
Oh, I've looked at some of the numbers there. It's insane, especially during the time period he did it.
It was the Depression.
Yeah.
he would come to Boston. They'd either go to Fenway Park or Braves. You know, the Braves were in Boston at the time. They'd either go to Braves Field or Fenway Park, 35,000 people.
Crazy. Huge draw. Huge.
So, Antonio Rocca brought wrestling back on TV, right?
Yep.
Gorgeous George.
Huge legend, yep.
Yeah, so everything is the era you were raised in. The music. Are you a music buff?
Oh, yeah.
I was on YouTube last night, and I'm caught on the start of the Beatles, right? And all the music they produced. Some people think it's the greatest music ever created. I would say in 10 years, a lot of people won't know who the Beatles are. I just saw a thing on, is it Belinda Carlisle? That's the country and western singer. She put a documentary on Tanya Tucker. Did you ever hear of her?
No. Mm-mm.
Tanya Tucker was a country and western star at 13. They hid how young she was because she did Delta Dawn. You know the song Delta Dawn? Everybody does. Delta Dawn.
Sounds really familiar. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a huge hit on. And Brenda Carlisle did it. Nobody knew who Tanya Tucker was. She used to, you know who Glen Campbell was?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Glen Campbell and her were an item. He was 44. He was 44. She was 22. They were snorting cocaine from Maine to Oregon. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, she was in the tabloids every day. Nobody knows who she is. So, and she's in the Country Music Hall of Fame. So, we're all creatures of our era. That's why you see, I'm watching that thing on the Beatles, right? And this guy's 80 years old with real long hair and ponytails. You know, they haven't left the 60s. It's their era. So,
yep. Yeah. Just going back to the Goldberg Regal thing, just to put a cap on that, the match itself isn't that good. It's clunky. It's awkward. Do you blame Regal? Do you blame Goldberg? Do you blame both of them? Do you blame the miscommunication with the agent? Like, because if you look at it, the match is just not good.
Communication with the agent. He said he wanted, if it was delivered right, 65-35.
Okay.
It was one of those things that Bill wasn't prepared for that match. We should have, my mistake, I should have put Bobby Eaton in there for a week. Bobby could have maneuvered him around. Regal, I believe, thought he could probably, Bill could probably have done more. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, does Regal think Goldberg is more advanced than he is at that point?
I think so.
Because it's one of those things where he's not really leading him around. You know, like Flair will literally, like if you watch his early matches against Sting, like they were talking about, Flair, like he literally will lead him around. Regal's not leading him around at all.
When we get through with this, I got to go back to something. Did you see that promo with Sting and Flair?
Yeah, for AEW, yeah.
And Christian gave me. Woo! Woo! That was a little stiff, huh?
Yeah. Flair's face, I was watching, Flair's face is like priceless during that promo.
Yeah.
He's just like, whoa.
You don't think they'll put him in there as a six man, do you?
I was just mentioning that to my buddy because I was like, I know they're teasing, obviously, Edge, Adam Copeland's going to be in the match, but they mentioned Flair as a possible participant. You think he's going to wrestle again?
I don't know, but why would he bury Flair that bad when you had Sting there, who's, you know, retiring?
I don't know. I feel like he's going to somehow he's itching. You know what I mean? Like he's going to want to be in it.
Yeah.
Kind of dangerous, I think. But that would be pretty interesting. Yeah. That was shocking that he was on. Do you think they should have promoted that?
No.
Oh, you like it being a surprise?
Yeah. And with all these things that Rick got going from right now, something made it come up. And he had maybe would have missed the show. You know what I mean?
Yep. I hope it just leads to ratings next week. You know what I mean? If, hey, Flair's going to be on. Or, hey, Flair's on last week. Let's watch this week to check out what Flair's got to say.
Yeah. I don't think it will, but who knows?
Going back to Goldberg, Regal, though, I feel like Flair would have kind of led Goldberg around in the match. Regal, maybe not that type of wrestler, or maybe he just wasn't prepared to do that in this match because he didn't realize that Goldberg was so green.
Regal was an offensive wrestler.
Yeah.
That's the difference. Rick was a defensive wrestler.
Are you going to take the blame or the agent? Is the agent finally going to come forward and take the blame for this? Yeah, you're going to take the blame, you said?
Yeah. I should have been more on top of it.
You say you should have been more on top of it as far as miscommunication with the guy?
Yeah, because not that. I should have gotten Bobby maybe a Stan Lane, some of the guys that could have helped go along. I threw in there one of the best technical wrestlers in the world. My fault.
So as far as this feud, obviously, Goldberg and Regal. Not feud, but this kind of war of words between them. It's interesting that it's almost still going on today. Regal almost is still kind of defending himself to this day in various interviews and stuff when asked about it. But he won't bring up the agent. He just seems like he's almost annoyed at answering this question over and over again now.
I want to tell you something. He started wrestling at 15. They wrestled better. They worked to get to where they were. Bill Watts in the business got the biggest push of all time. Fitz Finley, could you imagine if I had booked Finley against Goldberg? That might have been the end of Bill, you know what I mean? So, yeah, it's. But you got to progress. You can't just stay stagnant. And I think that's what's caused some of the rift you inside with the WWE, don't you?
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
All right, so just a couple random WCW questions that came in for you. Who was on the WCW booking committee in 1994?
Flair. Cornette.
No, not 94. Cornette wasn't there in 94.
Oh, that was the first one. The booking committee? Wasn't Ole running that, 94?
94, you're there, and Hogan's on his way in, so I think Ole's out.
I'm not sure who was running it then, but somebody was running it.
Bischoff brings you in, right, to help out booking?
No, he brings me in for ideas. I don't take over until Hulk gets there.
So would the committee be maybe you, Dusty, Flair, maybe? Just as far as like who's helping with the booking in 94 before Hogan?
I think Dusty was the booker.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
When Hogan gets there, that's the starting point? You're the booker when Hogan gets there?
Not immediately when we went on the first trip to overseas. Hogan came up to me.
What did he say?
He said, "Can you do this for us?" I said, "Yeah."
Now, not Bischoff, but Hogan is asking you to be the booker.
Hogan and Bischoff, yeah.
Oh, okay. But obviously, Hogan's kind of pushing it, though.
Right.
Why do you think that is? He trusts you more than he trusts the other guys?
Well, he grew up watching me. He used to come to Tampa Armory every Tuesday night.
Big thing with him is trust, though. You think that maybe he trusted you also more than Dusty and Rick?
Yeah, and I never asked him for a job.
And you thought that obviously he took that in the right way. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
This guy's not asking for anything. He doesn't want anything, but I think he would be good as the booker.
Yeah. And I had booked a few places before that pretty successfully.
Is that something that scares you a little bit when you think about it? It's like, okay, the guy that we just brought in, the head of the company, you know, Bischoff, you know, he's been there for about a year or so. But I mean, we just bring in a big star wrestler like Hogan, and he's kind of calling the shots. Did that scare you at all?
No, he was Hulk Hogan. You know what I mean? Again, let's go back to Eris. Was there anybody ever bigger than Hulk?
No, never.
There it is.
Are you okay with a wrestler calling the shots, though? You know what I mean? Are you okay with that?
He wasn't calling the shots. He went to talk to me. They both talked to me. And but I think he felt comfortable with me.
Do you think that comfortability was one of the things that was because he watched you or because he saw how you booked and was like, man, this guy knows?
Yeah, he saw how I booked. I mean, just because he watched me, he wasn't going to give it to me. No.
He liked your track record, if you will.
Yeah.
When you start to book and stuff, who's it like under you as far as creative and booking committee?
I brought in Arn to help me. Arn was a big help. Yeah.
What about Mike Rams?
He came in later. But I did it by myself for a long time before I came, yeah.
Do you literally put it in a book, in a notebook, and, like, do it that way, or is it all in your head?
I kind of, you mean when I was doing it?
Yeah, yep.
I would sit down in a quiet place, mostly on the beach, and look up in the sky, like watch a movie, and say, okay, where is this movie going, and who are the monsters, and who's the Justice League, and who's the League of Monsters? And that's how I kind of put it together.
Would you be partaking in any extracurricular activity when you would do booking or no?
Oh, sometimes, yeah. 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 Sometimes you'd have to.
So sometimes you have to partake in a little extracurricular activities when you're booking.
And here's the other thing, too. The thing that... You know why I believe there were so many overdoses during the 90s.
No, why? Too much extracurricular activity?
No. Do you know that we were, when we were, had the drug thing, the mm-hmm. drug test, we were on the NBA drug test where you could smoke pot. Do you remember Parrish?
Yeah.
What was his name?
Robert Parrish?
No, what was his he was the chief, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, the chief, Robert Parrish, yeah.
You remember he got busted with all that pot sent to him?
Yeah, that's why he's the chief?
Yeah, because he smoked so much.
Wow, I didn't even realize that. Okay. I thought because he's like the leader, you know what I mean? Yeah, the leader of the team. Oh.
But everybody in the NBA, you could smoke. But do you remember when they went out on strike?
Yep.
They took that away from them. I had, up until that time, I had seen pills very rarely. So, you know, it made a lot more sense, especially now. Do you know what I mean? It's almost like people look at people that, and I don't smoke anymore, so people now look at people and say, what is going on? How is this ever legal? It's going to be, I think they're going to make it a federal deal. You know, it's still, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Another random question for you. Thoughts on Rick Rude winning the WCW world title at Fall Brawl 1993? Really, I guess the NWA world title, a.k.a. international title. But what were your thoughts on Rick Rude becoming world champion?
I love Rick Rude. Loved him. Loved him. He was at my birthday party one time. And that's when I was living in Daytona. And Percy, you know, was his manager. Percy dabbed him with some acid, and they had to drive 60 miles back to Tampa. But I love Rude. He was a great. He was a great, great performer.
When you look at him as world champion, buying it easily. I mean, definitely
easily.
World
champion. Easily. Easily.
What about as far as Flair and him are concerned? Did those two get along at that point? Because, I mean, he's beating Flair for the world title. So, you know, he's kind of becoming the top dog as far as the top heel, the lead heel for WCW in 93. Do you think that there was an issue with Flair and him?
Yeah.
What was it?
There was just bad blood there. I'm not sure what it was.
Why did they have bad blood, though?
I'm sure it was, you know, professional. Like you said, one's going to pass the belt.
When that happens, does Flair normally get like that? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know about Luz, because it doesn't seem like he's... I know he's political, of course, but it doesn't seem like he's the kind of guy that necessarily gets upset when he has to lose the title.
Well, and he was having problems with the office, too. So they were, like, spanking him, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So it was more pissed at the office than Rick. Rude.
When you look at Rude winning the title, like, do you think that is the direction they should have went, and maybe Flair is a babyface, or do you think Rick Rude top heel, Flair secondary heel? You know what I mean? 1A, 1B, or you think you just like Flair as a babyface at this point?
Flair is a babyface. Rude was, I mean, he got over everywhere he went, didn't he?
It is weird though. Roode and Flair, they had good matches, but you would expect if you put those two names on a paper next to each other, you would expect great matches. You know what I mean? But they were just good, and then sometimes they were okay. So weird, right? I mean, they just didn't have good chemistry for some reason.
Sometimes that's the problem.
Is that a personal thing though? Like as far as them not being able to get along, or that doesn't matter?
No, it's like dance contests. Sometimes your partner's good, sometimes your partner sucks. Sometimes you both suck. You know?
Yep. I just was always kind of, I don't know, fascinated or maybe even thrown off a little bit by the fact that those two didn't have like five-star matches, so to speak. You know what I mean? Like Flair and Sting. Unbelievable chemistry, Sting and Roode. Unbelievable chemistry, Roode. And, you know, Chono had unbelievable matches. But for some reason, Roode, even Roode carrying Warrior to so many good matches. Roode and Piper. I mean, it just goes on and on and on with Roode. But then all of a sudden, it's like, wow, Flair, arguably the greatest of all time. They just didn't mesh.
Yep. Yep. It just didn't happen.
Very, very strange. Very weird. Then another random question for you here. How would you book Hulk Hogan versus Bret Hart in WCW, other than what you guys did when you kind of had the swerve between them that they basically had their match, and then basically Bret fakes an injury, Sting comes in, then Bret jumps Sting. So you had a match between them in WCW. I know they had some house show matches, but how would you really book a Hogan versus Bret Hart feud in WCW in their primes there?
Do you remember when Sting was supposed to win that match with Hogan?
Mm-hmm.
I would have had Bret come down and kick Sting and get Sting disqualified. I mean, him kick Hogan and get Sting disqualified. Then you'd have a three-way dance and draw a lot of money that way.
If you're going to have Hogan and Bret one-on-one, who wins, or do you do a series of matches?
Creative control, my man.
But how would you do it, though? Would you want Bret to go over?
He was the hottest thing coming out of the shoot, wasn't he?
Yes.
You got to go with the hot hand.
Are you trying to say Hogan tried to cool him off?
Well, you know, they used to do handicap matches with the hot boys, right?
Yes. We talked about that before. I guess Hogan never got that out of his head. Even though Bret was so hot after the Montreal Screwjob, I guess he never got that out of his head.
I guess he didn't.
All things considered, would you put Hogan, Bret, at like a Starrcade main event, like a Sting Hogan main event, would that be like your top main event for the year kind of thing? Would that program do that for you?
Sure. Bret's great.
Who's the heel? Who's the babyface?
Hogan. He's the NWO.
Okay, so do that era. You're going heel, Hogan. Bret's the big babyface. He's the hot commodity coming in, and you go that way with it.
Yep.
So interesting that they never really had a big match.
Nope. It was crazy.
Right? Isn't that nuts when you think about it?
Yeah.
Then if you even look at it further, okay, he wrestled Bret, he wrestled Sting, but never a big program with Hogan. And even SummerSlam 93, they took a picture together, and they were supposed to have a big match, and Hogan's not even on SummerSlam that year.
I know. Crazy.
It's absolutely crazy, like, when you think about it. But before we wrap up, I do have to mention this because we are taping today, and I actually forgot to text you this earlier. Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
How old are you now?
I'm 74.
Oh, my God. Can you believe you've made it?
No. That's why I got up early today.
But happy birthday. What are you doing for your birthday?
Probably I went out to dinner yesterday. I'll probably just enjoy the day with my family.
No other big plans.
No big plans.
hey, at this stage, I've had so much good time, I don't want to test faith.
So no extracurricular activities then? Is that what you're trying to say? No.
Exactly.
Those days are over.
Those are over. The past.
As far as the birthday, happy birthday, of course, and many more, maybe 74 more, maybe.
That would be cool. Thank you.
I just want to mention this as well. I was talking to Father James Mitchell, a.k.a. James Vandenberg, a.k.a. the Sinister Minister, and I said to him, because we were talking about the booking of you know, Wrath and Mortis and all that other stuff, and he said, hey, when you're in the business, it's much different than when you're outside the business looking in. Like I was saying, like, oh, you know, that's kind of an interesting character. You know, where does that come from? And he said, hey, you got to have a lot of respect for a guy like Kevin Sullivan booking the thing, especially when you're in the business and you're starting to understand why certain things are a certain way. So I said, no, I was like, you can't be given an excuse for the Dungeon of Doom. And he gave an excuse for the Dungeon of Doom. He said, yeah, you had to do it. So I couldn't believe that. He stuck up for you big time.
Oh, so you finally realized what I had to do.
I just couldn't believe he was. I thought I was opening the door for him to bury you, and he wouldn't do it. I was like, damn it.
Well, he's a smart guy. Wait, let me ask you this. You know all those guys you saw in the dungeon?
Yep.
Hammer.
Van Hammer? I wish.
The guy with the guitar, I had him for a while.
I wish he was a bigger part of it. Yeah, but yeah.
Yeah.
The shark, the Zodiac.
The Zodiac, the Yeti. Would you like to see them match after match? Or would you let them clump together in one spot?
That is true. You kind of get it out of the way almost, yeah.
Hello? Hello? It's been 25 years later.
That is a good point. I never even thought of it like that. Like, wow, all the Dungeons of Doom are in that one segment, and then it's washed away. Now we get to see, you know, Rey Mysterio wrestle for a little bit. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah. And guess what they all had in common?
Gimmicks.
They were Hulk's friends.
Oh, of course. Well, of course, yeah.
Well,
the guys he wanted to work with and he was comfortable with.
Yeah. But he got them in there, right?
Yep.
So, Brutus, I mean, would you have liked to have seen them all in individual matches?
No.
Okay. Thank you, Reverend James.
He's right. He was saying, hey, you know, the ends justify the means. You got to do what you got to do. You got to make Hogan happy. Make all his friends happy. You know, get them, like you said, get them all clumped in together, which is nice for the fans. And then get Hogan to turn heel and change the business forever.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Did you like, by the way, the Rare Oddities collection that James Vandenberg had? Did you like all that?
Yes. Yes. He's a very, very, and I'm not just saying that because he said something nice. He is a very, very talented guy. He is a very, and I don't know why somebody hasn't given him a real good shot. His interviews are great.
Well, he's in the NWA. He's been in the NWA, but obviously, I guess he does his other jobs, his other stuff. So he is technically a part of the NWA.
Oh, great. Great.
And he did have a brief spot in the AEW. He was the reverend for a wedding between Penelope Ford and Kip Sabian years ago.
Oh, I really like him. He's a good guy.
Did you like the Mortal Kombat stuff, though? The Glacier, the Mortis, the Wrath?
He blames me for killing Glacier. Because I said on an interview, Glacier, a slow-moving block of ice.
That's true, yeah. I guess it is your fault, technically, yeah.
Yeah.
When you look at it, though, I know, like, you got to have different stuff on the show, but it almost kind of would have been better off if you had the Blood Runs Cold maybe a few years later when the video games really started taking off, because it's very video game-esque, very video game-centric.
Yeah, it is. It was, too, you know, too early.
Okay. You got to love James Vandenberg, though. He said he got paid a couple years without even working. So thank you, WCW.
Good for him.
So let's hit the plugs. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. Check out the website, tmptempire.com. Kevin, you can follow him on Instagram. What else you got going on in this crazy world?
I'm going to say Salt Lake City next weekend.
Wow.
So the show. So I'll be there.
So wow, Salt Lake City. What's going on over there?
There's a convention and some wrestling matches. It's the Big D convention, so I'll be there.
Wow, awesome. Good stuff. I like that. Out and about. Salt Lake City. I'm sure you haven't been there in a while.
Been there. I went a couple months ago.
Oh, wow. For the same promotion or a different promotion?
Same promotion.
Oh, nice. That's awesome. Nice.
Yeah, it runs four times a year.
Very cool. Good stuff. Yeah. All right. Thank you, everybody out there, for listening. See you right back here next time. Have a good one, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You can check us out on Facebook. You can subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPT Empire to become a patron. And also check out the website, TMPTEmpire.com. And buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies. Brother.
Absolutely unafraid, Goldberg will be seen in just a moment as we await the arrival of his opponent this next matchup, Steven Regal, and we welcome to our broadcast location the one and only Bobby the Brain Heenan.
I hate to say this, but Mr. Regal, as nice as he looks in his customary beautiful robe he received in England at home, he may not look like that when he leaves the ring. Mr. Goldberg.
Did you see Zabisco? Has anyone seen or heard from him at all?
I haven't seen him at all.
Any word? Nothing backstage? Nobody's talking?
No one said a word to me about anything. They never do.
Someone needs to, next time Spicoli comes out here, put the black on him. All right, here we go. The fans on the large screen here saw the video feature of Goldberg, and they erupted. And if they erupted from that, just wait till the man himself comes through the entryway here at Nitro.
The monster!
And this has to be among the stiffest tests yet for Goldberg. Nothing concentrates for Goldberg. Supreme confidence. This man thinks there's no one in this sport that can hurt him, and so far, he's gone dead on. He takes focus to a new level.
But it's still wrestling, and Regal can wrestle.
That's right.
And he can't hurt you too much if you got him face down and his arms hooked.
And Regal has a huge experience edge over Goldberg.
He's wrestled all over the world, held many championships. Listen to these people.
Will Regal be the man to stop the winning streak of the undefeated Bill Goldberg?
How about a textbook takedown by Regal that time? Regal, a European uppercut. And I don't know, that may have just got Goldberg a little bit more angry than he usually is. Regal trying to wrestle the man, stepping on the back of the leg to drive him down, but Goldberg comes back up. Three-quarter Nelson, time to Goldberg, powers out of it with a full-arm dragon twist.
Well, it's smart strategy on the part of Steve Regal to try and out-wrestle Goldberg because he's certainly not going to outpower him.
There's no way you're going to outpower Goldberg. His best shot is to get him down, work on his arms, work on his shoulders, so he can't pick you up for that jackknife.
Waist lock. That time by Regal. Look at that. Great takedown by Goldberg. Goldberg showing the world that he can wrestle as well, Brian.
And he knows submission wrestling. There's no doubt about that. He's got an attitude problem, and he's a monster. He's got everything going for him.
He certainly has been a man on a mission. A man who has befriended no one.
You can see that Goldberg certainly respects Regal. Very cautious to this point.
And that's a smart thing to do. So we're seeing that Goldberg not only is a killer, is a monster, but also is a thinking man's wrestler as well, knowing who he's going up against. Regal.
I tell you, Tony, Regal doesn't know what to do.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say he's trying just about everything, and I think Regal.
Regal looks perplexed at this point.
Rolls him up, and to the bottom rope goes Regal. How about that? Regal kicked him in the face as he was backing up. Now that's going to make him angry.
Would you expect anything less from Regal?
Well, Regal wants him to make a mistake. There's no doubt about that. But I don't know if I want this guy to make a mistake on my body.
He's starting to chant Goldberg's name. And Regal, the side headlock takedown. Goldberg
quickly stuffs him off into a side head scissors.
Great counter move by Goldberg. So we're seeing this monster, this killer, go to the mat with Regal and look pretty darn good as well. Regal trying to get out of the head scissor here. Regal powered his way out of that. How about that, guys?
But he's trying to tie him up. He's smart. That's what he's trying to do. Just take all the power and all the strength away from Goldberg.
Puts him into a front chancery, and now Goldberg trying to reverse into that. Goldberg, gut shot. And again. We talked about it being one of his toughest tests, and so far it has been just that. It has been a different test for Goldberg. A break, and Regal again into the head.
Well, I was going to say that he's had to out-wrestle Regal until Regal took that shortcut.
Goldberg! Arm whipped him down that time.
Just ferocious the way he grabbed that arm.
You know, and just when you think they got Goldberg, and he's a rookie, and he doesn't really know what he's doing out there, he comes out of it with a move you haven't seen before.
Regal trying to keep him off his feet. On his hands and knees, trying to get the feet down. And as Goldberg was going down, he pounded Regal in the back of the head. Back to the arm again. Just, you can tell that Regal is straining to get every wrestling move he can on this powerhouse. He picks him up, belly to back.
Regal just can't bend him.
First power move by Goldberg there.
Regal put the brakes on. Regal tried to headbutt him into the midsection. Regal with a European uppercut. And that just staggered the big guy here. Regal hooks him again. Into the ropes. Leg trip, and Goldberg goes down. He went for the leg, and Goldberg went down. And Regal with a European uppercut.
This is the experience factor taking over right here.
That's what it is.
Series of knee lifts by Regal. Goldberg trying to fight back.
Tried a spinning neck breaker. Did not really connect the way he wanted to. But he succeeded in bringing Regal down. And that time dragged him down with a shoulder block.
That one finally took Regal off his feet.
And Goldberg, massive forearm shot. Regal trying to block it.
European uppercut in the corner and open hand palm thrust to the side of the face. Now that one, I think he laid in a fist, open hand to the midsection and a headbutt.
Well, we are seeing much more of a wrestling match than we anticipated, guys. And that was based on solely Goldberg's stellar track record so far.
Goldberg.
And another test with a completely different type of wrestler that he hasn't
Tyler. Bill Goldberg is real. And this is another chapter in the legend that grows in our sport. Your winner, Goldberg, still to come tonight. Hollywood Hogan, the Macho Man, Randy Savage. But fans, do not forget, the Bruise Cruise is coming Memorial Day week.
College football fans, are you ready for week one? DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up with a can't-miss offer to start the season strong. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Anything can happen in college football. That's right. Your team could go from unranked to dynasty mode in just a couple of years. Change comes fast. The only thing that's a lock is great offers from the DraftKings Sportsbook. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code TASKMASTER, all lowercase. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on college football. Only DraftKings Sportsbook is the way to go, and use that promo code TASKMASTER, then the crown is yours. That's right. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use that promo code TASKMASTER. Own it, live it, win the crown.
We love the 1980s wrestling era, when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and the family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lainey Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.